Welcome to the podcast, Just Saying. My name is Joe McCormick. I'm your host. In this week's episode, we're going to tackle how you can command attention. The point of this podcast is singular, to help you become an elite communicator. Deliberate, decisive, clear and concise. This podcast is based on the book Brief that I wrote. It's about clear and concise communication. It's also based on the book Noise, Living and Leading When Nobody Can Focus, about how distracted and distractible our world is and how hard it is to communicate and focus inside of it. And a forthcoming book coming out later this year called Quiet Works, Making Silence the Secret Ingredient of the Workday and how important working alone is to becoming more deliberate as a professional and certainly as a communicator. If you want more information on Quiet Works, you can go to quiet-works.com. And if you want more information on the Brief Lab, you can go to thebrieflab.com and you'll find resources and information there for you. If you ever want to contact me or reach out to me directly, just send an email to info@thebrieflab.com and it'll reach me. And if you've got a story or anecdote or anything that you've seen, heard, want to share with me, struggle, success, story, or just drop me a line, please do that. I'll read those emails and it often influences the podcast topics that I do. This week, we're going to talk about commanding attention. And I want to share with you two stories that are sort of juxtaposed to each other. One is a story of success, and the other one is a story of failure. Each of them involve a commander. I do a lot of work with the military. Our company does a lot of work with corporations and government clients. And I spend a lot of my time as part of our plan and where I'm located and where I live, supporting our military clients. I do corporate clients as well, but I spend a lot of time with military leaders. So this story is relating specifically to two experiences that I had with commanders. One was a success story and the other was a failure story. I want to start with the failure first. It was a few years ago, and I share this sometimes in the courses that I teach. In doing this work for more than 10 years, teaching Brief and after writing the book, I've been in marketing and doing this work, brand work and communication and messaging for over 25 years. But the Brief Lab has existed as a brand and the book has been out since 2014. So it's been a decade. Earlier on in my experience, because I'd never been in the military and never served in the military, a lot of those experiences and connections and courses were new to me. You know, I'd be invited to military bases and conferences and fascinating people of all walks of life, different ranks and general officers and non-commissioned officers and enlisted people and government contractors and civilians and specialists and colonels and, you know, captains and all, you name it. Awesome people. And I've loved the work that we've done impacting their community. Earlier on, I was always asked to hey, you know, you got to see our briefings. And, you know, in the military, that those things could be painful and long and whatnot. And one day I was asked to give a briefing on a base. And as the story goes, I was briefing at 9 a.m. to a group of soldiers. Let's say that there were 50 soldiers. And I got to this place and it was a big auditorium. And the AV and the tech and the screens and everything it was all ready to go. At 8 o'clock, actually, because I was there plenty early. And I was standing in this room, and it was a really, really large auditorium. And then all of a sudden, this about 150 soldiers kind of walk in. I'm guessing the number about that. Big group of soldiers come in and just file in and sit in these rows and rows of chairs. And some commander, I don't know exactly, I don't recall exactly what the rank was, but some who was very, very high level, high powered, was going to give them a briefing. Now, I just watched the whole thing from the back of the room. Now, whoever was leading this thing did not know that I was going on next to a different group of soldiers, and I was watching him. He had no idea, because he would have been mortified. His briefing lasted an hour and 15 minutes, and I watched the whole thing. And it was painful. It was really, really painful to watch because he was just going on and on and on. In last week's episode, we talked about how clarity and comedy are related. Well, if this guy was a comedian, he was bombing. He was absolutely bombing. And But he had a captive audience, so they all were stuck there and they had to listen to him because he was in charge. So as I looked at this incident and I kind of broke it down into pieces, I mean, he did a lot of things wrong. Well, number one is it took way too long. The whole thing was way, way too long. Number two is he did not in any way, shape, or form look at those people as people that could, in their mind, get up and leave. He thought, well, because they're in the room, they have to listen to me. And I started noticing how people were putting their heads down, and some of them were looking and nodding, but the nodding was just to be nice, and fake listening, and there was a lot of that going on, but it was just droning on and on and on, and it was super painful. And when you unpack an incident like that, there's a lot of bad things that happen, a lot of impacts that were made in that morning. But one of the biggest ones is you just gave 150 people an example of what bad looks like and told them this is what the standard is. And it's devastating to think that 150 people watched a very senior leader communicate in that way, in such an abusive, long-winded, careless, almost dictatorial rant and ramble, that you might be having 150 people think, well, when I get to that position of leadership, that's what I'm going to do. And it was painful to watch, certainly. And I tell that story because it impacts people in many ways. It wastes their time, sure. It creates fatigue, absolutely. It lowers the standard. It lowers the bar 100%. That is going to be repeated for years and years to come, even worse. They're not ready. They haven't received the message. They're all over the place. He's scattered. They're scattered. The whole thing just becomes kind of a ticking time bomb of problems down the road, problems immediately. Some of them might just look like, you know, why would I re-enlist and then just, I'm out. Especially the higher quality ones. Like, okay, this is just frustrating to see this. So that was the failure story. And when I'm talking in this podcast about commanding attention, I really think that you need to understand and grasp that leaders learn to earn this attention. It's not an accident. They're not a captive audience. And commanding attention isn't just for some people who have charisma or a certain personality or just high-powered extroverts. All of those things are not true. It's not an accident when you command attention. You got to learn to earn it. These people that you're talking to are not a captive audience. They can and will mentally leave the room. You got to command their attention. And this is for everybody. Leaders, whatever level of leadership you're in, whether you're commanding attention to 5 people or 50 or 500, you have to learn to earn it. It's not just given to you because of your role. You got to learn to earn how you command attention. And the second story that I'm going to share with you is a success story that happened to me relatively recently. I'm not going to say who it was, but I was at a conference. I was invited to lead a conference where it was in Florida, and there were probably 30 to 40 military leaders in there, and their commander gave the opening remarks to the conference. And it was remarkably clear how he delivered the message. It was remarkably clear, and it was no accident how he commanded their attention. Now, when I looked at it, this is what I want to break down for you. What happened? I can tell when I watch people communicate in this way, how they command attention, if they're prepared or not. He prepared in advance. He thought about his audience, these 30 to 40, you know, young leaders that work for him. He understood the time that he had, that he was given to kick it off. He thought about his intent. What was he going to say to them? His tone, his message. He prepared. Going back to the last week's about comedy, he worked it out. He had a plan. How many leaders show up in that room and they know that they've got 5 minutes or 10 minutes to say some remarks, and they scribble some things and they say, you know, I've done this before, I'll do it again, and they just kind of wing it. Happens all the time. No, he didn't wing it. He prepared. He was ready to go. He had a clear sense of what he was going to say, why he was going to say it, what he was going to cover, the impact and tone he wanted to convey to command attention. And he did. That's why he's the commander. And some people squander that responsibility and other people embrace it. He embraced it through preparation. It was very deliberate preparation. Then he started strong. His opening remarks, his initial commentary had a main point in why it mattered right out of the gate. He stated his clear intent in why it mattered to them in the first 15 to 30 seconds. It wasn't in the middle and it wasn't at the end. It was right up front. Get to the point. He had one and he got to it. He got their attention. He won it and he set the tone. He commanded attention. He didn't abuse it. He earned it through preparation because he started strong. The next thing is he started strong, but he sounded, I know this guy, and I've talked to him conversationally. He was talking to them like he talked to me. He sounded like he sounds. He wasn't sounding like a different person, or he was doing public speaking, or he was trying to try too hard. No, he sounded like he sounded. He had his voice. He knew what his voice was. It was authentic. It was conversational. And it was professional. It was all that. He sounded like himself on his best day when he stood up there. And when he talked to them, he spoke to them in clear terms. He wasn't fumbling for the words. He knew what he had to say, and he said it. And he spoke with conviction, and he spoke with belief. I'm listening to him, and I'm like, I would follow this guy. Where he's going. I'm following him. And I know, anecdotally, people respect him. And I would argue pretty strongly that one of the reasons why they respect him is how he communicates. It's a commanding kind of way. It's not powerful. He's not beating them up or giving them a speech. He's going through a very deliberate process. And when the words come out of his mouth, he's not surprised to hear them. Right? And finally, he knew how to end. Right? On time, on point. Drop the mic. Get off the X. I'm done. I said what I need to say, and then he introduced me, and then I stepped up, and it was like, wow. Like, he set the stage, literally, for me to do what he needed me to do. But his words, his message, were commanding. And as you go through this breakdown and compare it to the failure story, you know, preparation, deliberate preparation. Do we take quiet time alone to prepare before we speak to people, before we connect with them? Number two is our opening 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Is it strong? Does it have a clear direction, a clear point? Are we getting to the point? Are we starting strong? Are we trying too hard at just sounding like we sound? I'm having a conversation right now on this podcast. This is how I sound. If you've met me, this is how I sound. When you're communicating to people, do you sound like you sound in a conversation? Are the terms that you're using clear? Are they prepared? Are you hearing yourself say things that you've never even thought about, and they're just popping out of your mouth? And are you even thinking about the ending? Or did you just talk right through the ending? All of which, in a package, what I just broke down for you, is how a leader commands attention. It's not an accident. You earn it. You learn to earn it. When I think about the people that I've crossed paths with over the years, and I think about leaders and leadership and how important many things are to contribute to great leadership. Whether you're managing a small team of people, whether you're managing a household, whether you're managing 1,000 people, whether you work for somebody who does, great leaders are clear and concise communicators. Great leaders are. What they say matters. And if you think about the mantra of think, say, and do, they get that order right. They think a lot. Then they say what they need to say so that you do what you need to do, and they're doing what they need to do. Think, say, do. That's the mantra. So when you think about commanding attention, doing this well means what you say always matters to people. And it's worth their time and it's worth their attention. Always. Just saying.